You are listening to a tape from the Karen Orr series of lectures, as given by Rabbi Yochanan Zweig, Rosh HaYeshiva of the Talmudic University of Florida, Alfred and Sadie Swire College of Judaic Studies. For more information regarding the Karen Orr audio and video lecture series, please call 305-534-7050 or 305-534-8450.
The strongest case for Bible criticism in the Torah is Parshas Mishpatim. So God forbid, if a person wanted to be a critic and look at the Torah objectively, he would have to say that there's more than one author. We have in Yisro a version of Kabbalat HaTorah. And then we have Parshas Mishpatim, a whole series of laws. And then at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, again, and we have another story of Kabbalat HaTorah, receiving the Torah. It's very disjointed. And the more one author would have written it in one time, but the entire story at one time. Number one. But it's really even much deeper than that, in the sense that if the two stories, it doesn't sound like the two people were witnessing the same event. The two authors, the Yisro version of Kabbalat HaTorah and the Mishpatim version of Kabbalat HaTorah, do not sound like it was the same authorship. You take a look at Yisro, and the mood of the people is fear, trembling, going backwards. We can't handle the pressure, the intimacy, and we know, don't talk to us. And it's a very, very a very awesome experience. Smoke, burning fires, all different kinds of pillars of smoke and burning fires and trembling mountains. We go to Parshas Mishpatim. There's a party. There's a festivities over there. Vayech, vayiras, okim, vayech. Vayechsu, vayochlu, vayishtu, eating, drinking. According to some, we show them it's a sin. But according to others, it's not a sin. But either way, a person that is, when there's a sense of fear, terror, people don't sit down to start getting into a festive mood. And according to those that say it wasn't a sin and you should be festive there, and certainly it seems to be two different author, two different stories. What happened? Who was there? What really happened over there? What transpired? Then, if we go a little further, we see that there's just so many different facts that are there. We're talking the way Rashi reads the sentences go like this. The Parshas Yisro has Moshe, Klal Yisro, appearing at Har Sinai, next to the mountain Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The second day of Sivan, Moshe goes up to the mountain. Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers him the Torah, and to find out if the Jewish people want it, he goes down, and on the second day of Sivan, the Klal Yisrael says, Nasa, we will take the Torah. On the third day, Moshe goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and reports to him that the Klal Yisrael wants to take the Torah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that he will be coming to Moshe in a Av HaOnon, in a cloud, and the Klal Yisrael will be around there as spectators. And Moshe then goes down on the third day and tells us the Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is this is the Yisrael version, and Klal Yisrael is unhappy with that and says, "No, we want to." With Sonenu Liros as Malkeinu, Rashi says, "We want to that God should come directly to us." Moshe on the fourth day goes up, and God says, fine. Klal Yisrael wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come to them. Moshe go down and tell them that they have to have separation, preshut, and eventually Hagbolah. There's going to be a boundary to how close they can get to Mount Sinai. He goes down on the fourth day and he tells them that, and then Torah a little bit in Parshas Yisro tells us that they carried that out. And Parshas Mishpatim begins on the fourth day, Rashi says. It begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message to Moshe on the fourth day. After the fourth day, based on what we had in Yisro, was that Moshe went up to Har Sinai and told HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael wants that they should come, that he should come directly to them. That's what we know in Yisrael. Parshas Mishpatim, Vel Moshe Amar Aleh, means from that point on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now it's the fourth day, and we're getting a greater version of the fourth day. And what are we finding out? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, listen, eventually, I want Moshe Amar, you'll come up, and Aaron will come up, and Nadav and Avihu, and the Zekanim will come up, and then go tell the nation about Prishin Hagbolah. Moshe goes down and tells them Prisha and Hagbola on the fourth day, and also he tells them the 10 mitzvahs of Morah. Moshe tells them the 10 mitzvahs that we received in Morah, which are the 7 Noahide laws, Shabbos, Torah, Duma, and Dinan. That's what Moshe goes down. I'm just telling you now the Rashis. That's what Moshe goes down and tells them on the fourth day. On the next day, and then it says Koa, and then they all agree we will accept it. So we will accept. So now we have an acceptance we didn't know anything about in Yisrael. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them regarding Hagbola and Prisha, they have to separate and be Hagbola, and it just tells us they started carrying it out in Yisrael. In Mishpatim we find out they said, whatever Hashem says, Naaseh, we shall do. That's what we discover here. In Parshas Mishpatim. And not only was that Nasa went on that, but it also went on Kol HaMishpatim. There was a Nasa on the 10 mitzvahs of Morah as well. Afterwards, on the fifth day, Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to go make a Mizbeach. And he builds a Mizbeach. And he also writes the Torah from the beginning of Bereishis till Har Sinai. And he also includes in that document the 10 mitzvahs of Morah. Afterwards, they slaughter some animals, and they take the blood, they split it in half. Moshe takes the blood and splits it in half. Half he puts onto the Mizbeach. Afterwards, he then reads them this document that he has written called the Sefer HaBris, which is from Bereishis till Matan Torah and the 10 mitzvahs. After which Klal Yisrael says Nasa v'nishma, and afterwards he then takes the blood and sprinkles the other half of the blood according to Rashi on the Mizbeach, which is really for the nation on the Mizbeach. The literal meaning in the sentence is he poured it on the people. Rashi learns he poured it on the Mizbeach for the people. That's the two versions. I mean, in Yisrael there was no mention of the Mizbeach. There's no mention of a Sefer HaBris. There's no mention of what Moshe wrote. There's no mention of... what's going on here? I mean, it sounds like that there was two people there writing it. One person saw what was happening, and one person didn't see. One author is talking about the same days. He's talking about Prisha and Hagbolah, and they went to the mikveh, and their clothing, they were toivah we had in last week's Parsha. And this week's Parsha, we find out that there was many other things going on over there. The sacrifice is going on, they're dumping this Mizbeach over there, they're sprinkling blood over there, Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'nishma over there, Klal Yisrael accepted the mitzvah of Morah there. What is going on here is incredibly difficult to understand. Another thing that's very difficult to understand is the notion of what was the need here now for the mitzvah of Morah. They have already been obligated Morah for a number of weeks in the 10 mitzvahs of Morah. In momentarily they're going to receive the whole Torah. What is this new thing that Moshe has to repeat to them? The 10 mitzvahs of Morah, and on the 10 mitzvahs of Morah they say, Nasa will do. They already were obligated. They've already been obligated in those mitzvahs. It's also interesting that in Parshas Mishpatim, the firstborn are called Kohanim. Rashi says, who are the Kohanim? The Bechoros. In Parshas Mishpatim, Nare B'nai Yisrael is the Bechoros. Very interesting. The same people. There they're called the Kohanim, and here they're called the Bechoros. Just like to get some understanding of what's happening over here. And so the basic questions are that it's not organized in a logical fashion, the story of Har Sinai. The fact that there's a whole interjection of mitzvahs between the two historical events regarding the very same days is difficult to understand. The second question is that the issues are, and facts that are reported in one place are omitted in the other place, which is, doesn't seem to be any justification for that, and yet there's a lot of repetition too. So what things are repeated and what things are omitted? And then to understand exactly what really is happening over there, what really is the significance of accepting the 10 laws of Mora. We find that the Talmud had a HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made a miracle to answer one of the questions, one of the difficult sentences in this week's Parsha. In the second version of the Torah tells us here that the ones who did the sacrifices by Yishlach et Nare B'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people sent the Norim, which rises into the Bechorus, by Yalu Olos, they brought sacrifices. So when King Ptolemy asked that the Torah should be translated into Greek, that sentence was changed to by Yishlach et Zatute B'nei Yisrael, the prominent people of Israel. Why? Because Ptolemy would be extremely upset when he would take a look and say, what did they send? How did Klai Yisrael send Nare? I mean, that's a bizoyan, that is a Geruim Shelochem Shalachtim Lekabel Pnei Shechina. You sent the youngsters, the ones the least important to greet the Shechina. That's what Talmud would say. That's what Rashi says. And therefore, Hashem made a miracle that in the Greek translation of the Bible, that all the versions, that instead of using the word nare, the translation in Greek equals the word prominent. It's a really a serious question. So if it's a serious question, so the fact that we've now satisfied Ptolemy by writing something that it doesn't really say, all right, that we took care of Ptolemy. But what's our answer to that question? That's not only Ptolemy's problem, that's our problem. With the chutzpah, the lack of respect, klapei shechina, that over here we sent people that weren't chashuv to be mekabel pnei shechina? It is a very serious question. And if we have some kind of reasonable answer to that, then it would be correct that we should inform Ptolemy of our answer as well. In order to understand this, I think the main question here is, I think after all said and done, it sounds like two different events. One is awesome, terrorizing, and one that seems to be a celebration. That's the bottom line. What is really the difference? It's clear here that the Torah is telling us that there is two aspects of Kabbalah Satorah. There's one aspect of Kabbalah Satorah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposes His will on us, not again without asking us, do we want to accept the Torah? He went around to all the other nations of the world. He went around to us also, and we said, yes, we will accept the responsibility for 613 mitzvahs. Based on that, there is a would be an obligation, and we would be obligated in 613 mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would come, and we would now be and tell us what those 613 mitzvahs are. That's one aspect of what Kabbalah Satorah could have been, and would have been, and should have been, had in fact what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, the way he had planned it originally, that I am coming to you, Moshe. Hinei anochi bo elecha ba'ava onon. I'm coming to you. And Klal Yisrael will be able to hear me speak to you. Hinei anochi bo elecha ba'ava onon. And balvur yish... Is that possible? I am coming to you. The people will overhear this. That was the original plan. Klal Yisrael was not satisfied with that plan, as they told Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the fourth day and reported that. Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he was not satisfied with that. And then comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu another direction. And that is what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we should have Prisha and Hagbolah. There will be Prisha, everyone has to separate from their wives, and there will be a Hagbolah. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to us directly. What is really the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to us directly? What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to us directly? What it means is that Kabbalah Satorah is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the universe who is obligating the people in the world to do the mitzvahs only. But Kabbalah Satorah means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us to become principals in creation. We are principals. We are not employees. We are principals in creation. Kabbalah Satorah is that Klal Yisrael was a principal in creation. Let me explain that. First of all, let me just say what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us in this week's Parsha that Kabbalah Satorah was a bris. A bris is a relationship of two people becoming principals. Employers and employee is not a bris. A bris means two halves become a whole. Rashi tells us in Parshas, Lech Lecha Shekein Derech Kersei HaBris. They take something that is a whole thing, they break it in half, and then they join it together. A bris, the act of consecrating a bris, is always an act of taking a single object, breaking it in half, and joining it together, which means symbolically what we're saying happens in a bris is that two halves are becoming one whole. That's the definition of a bris. And we don't have a better example than over here. Rashi says it there, by bris bein apsarim, but here we have exactly the same example. We take blood, and then we put into agonis, we join all the blood in one vessel, from each animal, from each type of animal, in one vessel. Then we split the blood exactly in half, and half we put on the altar for Hashem, and then ultimately the second half, according to Rashi, also goes on to the altar, joins together, and that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that represents us. That's Bishpil Ha'am. So we have exactly the same thing. A bris means we are creating principles. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai is principles. Explain what it means to be a principal. What means to be a principal, or first of all, what's the basis of being a principal? A principal is an employee, is where one person is the owner and the other person is working for him. That's an employee relationship. You can have different levels of employee. You have lower level employees, you have management, but management is also an employee. A principal means that we are principals, we are part owners. That together, the reality only exists because of the togetherness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he wants to be maitiv. He wants to do good. The only good is having a relationship to him. And the only ones who now understand who want to have a relationship with him is us. And therefore, it is only through us that he is able to be a maitiv. It is only through us that he is practically able to express his rutzen to do good. Because the rest of the world isn't interested. That's what they're the only one. They don't want to accept the Torah. They're not interested. We understand that the only purpose is to have a connection to him. And therefore, because we understand this, therefore, we now enable him to be native. So it is only through the Kabbalah
Ha Torah B'Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the wherewithal to be Metziv, and therefore that in fact means that it is a symbiotic relationship, that our, we need him for sure, and to some extent for him to be Metziv, he needs us. To be Metziv, he needs us. Again, he doesn't need us because he doesn't need to be Metziv either, but to the extent that he needs to be Metziv, he needs us. He needs us. To be Metziv, he needs us. And therefore, we are together in creation. The ramifications of this, we know later on to be 100% true, because we understand that eventually, Torah can be decided by us. Torah is lo b'shamayim. If we want to really understand what it means to be a principle, when there's an issue of halacha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules one way, and Chachmei Yisrael and the sages of Israel rule another way, the Rambam says, based on the Gemara and Baba Tzvi, that the law is like the sages of Israel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, because Torah is lo b'shamayim. That's only possible in an that's not possible with an employer, employee, a owner, employee relationship. That's only the principle. He could give that over. He can give that over to us. Or another halacha. Atem, we had Kiddush HaChodesh. Now it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that we can set the calendar. Okay, set the calendar, but that doesn't mean you're yet an employee, a principal. Yeah. It's my business, it's my world. I want you to set the calendar. You know, you're running it and you're putting you in charge. That's fine. But what about when we discover in Parshas Emor, Atem Afilu Shoigigim Afilu Meizidim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rosh Chodesh is now. And Klal Yisrael says, the Mezid, no, Rosh Chodesh is tomorrow or the next day. And what's the halacha? That becomes Rosh Chodesh. That's an employee can't do that. Employee who does that, he's out of a job. And not only that, he's acting beyond the scope of his authority. And therefore, that has to be reversed, that decision. And the halacha is, Atem Afilu Shoigigim Afilu Mezidim, the Kabbazin of Yisrael, Paskins, the halacha, that the calendar, that the month starts 2 days later when they know that's not, they know the halacha says not to do for whatever reason they want to do, the new month is according to them. That's not an employer-employee relationship. That a principal can do. Nobody other than a principal can do that. Now, of course, he allowed us to do that. And the Torah permits us to do that. There's certain limitations on what principal means. We're not the only principal. There's two principals here, so it can only be to the extent that both principals agree to what each principal can do. But the fact is, that can only be a principal. Only a principal would be able to have the judgment against where Atem Afilu Meizidim. That's what ownership is. I do what I want to some extent. What happened at Har Sinai? The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kivin she'omdu Yisrael at Har Sinai, Pasuk Zul Masel, which means that from at the moment we stood at Har Sinai, meaning we accepted the Torah, and I want to suggest that means not Parshas Yisrael, but Parshas Mishpatim, the version of Parshas Mishpatim, Pasuk Zul Masel. All our connections to death, we have now returned to becoming eternal. That from now on, from Sinai on, we are now eternal. That means there's no longer death in the world. That we have now, we are connected to Him. We are connected to His reality. And until we decide that we want out of the partnership, out of being the principle, by the ego, then we live forever. We have become eternal. I tell you this step more. At this moment, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chel Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chel Olam Haba means we have a part of eternity. We own a part of eternity. We don't have to earn eternity. We own a part of eternity. We can lose it, but we own a part of eternity. Which means another very fascinating thing. Schar. What does schar mean? If we have a share of Kol Yisrael, we're born with a share in Olam Haba. So what does it mean we get rewarded when we do a mitzvah? That means we get paid from his hair, not from our hair. From our hair, for whatever share we have, we were born. We call Yisrael Yeshlam Chel Olam Haba. And the moment we stood at Har Sinai, becoming part of his reality, that's what Kabbalah HaTorah means. Kabbalah HaTorah means we're a principle with him. And from that moment on, we have eternity. We have a share in Olam Haba. When we now do mitzvahs afterwards, yes, he'll reward us in all of my bubble. He can't reward me with what's already mine. That means from his share, he gives us He gives us from his share more Olam Haba. Kabbalah Satara is a bris. A bris means that we are principles in creation. Of course, and principle means that we have a share in him. There is no reality outside of him. But he gives us a share in ownership in him. And that's what a bris is. There's a oneness, a fusion. That's the Mishpatim version of Kabbalah Satara. The Yisro version of Kabbalah Satara is not a fusion, not a merger. It is a employee. It is an owner, and it is an owner-employee relationship. And therefore, of course, the different moods are very clear. And by the way, that was the plan originally. The principle might have been Moshe Rabbeinu. Hinei onoichi bo elecha ba'ava onon. Ava onon, I'm coming to you. Bavur yishma ha'om medabri elecha. That Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm coming to you. I'm giving you the Torah. You are a principal. Klal Yisrael is employees, managers even. Klal Yisrael said we're not happy for that. And therefore Klal Yisrael at that moment said, we want more. With Sonenu Liros as Malkeinu, which now we understand what that means, we want to be a principal. A principal can't be excluded from decisions. An employee, it's not you. This is principal meaning. But an employee doesn't belong to the principal meaning. We don't want that. We want with Sonenu Liros as Malkeinu. On that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, yes, I will come to you. Parshas Mishpatim tells us, you know what that means? That you want me to come to you, that means you want to be principals. Then we have to enter into a bris. And therefore, in Parshas Mishpatim, we discover Kabbalah Satorah is a bris. It's a bris to Torah. What's the bris of Torah? The whole event that happens over there. This now explains the different moods clear. And one of them, becoming a partnership in all of reality, in all of eternity, is a great cause of simcha. Because it's tremendous. We also understand where they took the liberty, even according to Rashi, that it was a sin. I mean, we're principles. We're the closeness. We're partners. So by Yechzu Esolukim, it was too much of a liberty. They went a little too far. But we understand where it's coming from, because we're talking about merging. We're talking about becoming one. But even there could be certain boundaries. But when you're talking about there has to be a certain mood. And a certain limitation. Whereas in Parshas Yisro, we're giving the perspective of Kabbalah Satorah, but had it not been a merger, which is also a chelik of Kabbalah Satorah, the unilateral obligation. Why don't we say that once we have Mishpatim, the Yisro is no longer in effect? Because it's not true. What happened to the Chet Egel? What happened to the Cheder Egel? They rejected Parshas Mishpatim. And it's clear from Chazal that it was not a rejection of Yisro, because the Chazal say it was a rejection of Nasa the Nishma, and Klal Yisrael said Nasa the Nishma. They got two crowns. Comes along and they said the Egel, they lost the crowns. The crowns are not from Parshas Yisro. The crowns are from Parshas Mishpatim. So now there's no longer, we pulled out. There's no merger. We don't have to do the mitzvahs anymore. No, since we already know that Klal Yisrael undid Har Sinai that the Gemara tells us, the whole pasuk is telling us, we undid Maimon Har Sinai when we did the sin of the Egel. Well, if we undid Har Sinai, we did the sin of the Egel, what position should we be in? We shouldn't have to keep Shabbos. Well, Shabbos maybe, yes. We shouldn't have to keep any of the mitzvahs that are nischadish at Sinai, right? We have no reason to keep them because we undid that. The covenant has been, there's been an explosion in the merger. The merger has been dissipated. That's true. But forget about that. There's another aspect. The unilateral obligation and commitment to do the mitzvahs. The obligation that I put on you to do the mitzvahs. That didn't go away. The 613 mitzvahs were still obligated. We're just no longer principals. But the 613 mitzvahs were obligated to do. Therefore, Yisro Mishpatim doesn't reverse Yisro. Mishpatim adds another dimension. But if in fact you are not going to maintain the merger, then the original din of Kabbalah Satorah of Yisro still remains in effect. So by the Cheder Egel that we destroyed the merger, we still are obligated to do the other 613 mitzvahs. So there's no shadow. We were obligated 100% to do the 613 mitzvahs. Between the time of Shivasa B'Tammuz, when we did the Cheder Ego, until Yom Kippur, certainly we had to keep the mitzvahs. There's no question about that. We had to keep the mitzvahs. And what do we have to keep the mitzvahs for? We already rejected the whole thing. What we rejected was the merger. That we have a right to reject. But what was already clearly imposed upon us in Parshas Yisro, with aim a year of arrest, us, the whole fear and awe that we're still obligated to do. With this, now we begin understanding the Gemara with Talmai HaMelech clear. Talmai HaMelech says, what do you mean you're sending the Nare B'nai Yisrael? What does it mean you're sending the youngsters? That's 100%. That's an enormously serious question. It's such a lack of Derech Eretz that is unbelievable. That would be true if you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the principal. Maybe Moshe is a principal too, and we're employees. So what, you're sending low level, Klai Yisrael sent the lowest level employees to go ahead and do the and bring the sacrifices? I mean, it's a chutzpah. That is exactly what it would be if we're employees. Even if we're managers. I don't mean that we're the managers. And we have no doubt. We're more, he took us out of Mitzrayim, we're managers, we're even his sons that are Slaymach al Shulchano. Right? We're working for our fathers. Right. A son who works for his father is an employee. He sometimes doesn't realize he's an employee. He thinks he's a principal, but that doesn't happen. You know, until either Mayor Vester or the father gives him over part of the business, but he's an employee. So it's true, he took us out of Egypt and it's B'nei B'chor Yisrael, but we're managers. We were his managers. We're his managers. Then we send the low-level employees to Kabbalah, to Torah. It's a tremendous chutzpah. That's what Talmai HaMelech is saying. Our answer to that is, it doesn't say in Parshas Yisro that we sent the Nare B'nai Yisrael. In Parshas Yisro it says the Kohanim would have been the ones to do the Avodah. The Bechoris there are called the Kohanim. It would have been the Choshima ones that did it. As far as Yisro, if it would have been a Yisro event only, the ones who had brought the Avodah are the Bechoris. But which Bechoris? The Kohanim, the older ones, the ones of stature. In Parshas Mishpatim it is a merger. And you know who the principals are? The principals are not just the Klal Yisrael, the elders. Every single Yid is the principal. The merger here is between Knesset Yisrael and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone is a principal. The best way of showing that it's not employees but principals is by showing the youngsters. Because if you're talking about a scale, a youngster can be a principal. He can own shares. There's no problem. And that youngster's that's a youngster that has Pasuk Zor Mosfan. And therefore, the youngsters are our principals. That's the best way of showing we're principals. So we sent the Nare B'nai Yisrael to say we're not here as employees. We're here as principals here. The reason we don't tell this to Talmi is because that's exactly the difference between a Yid and a Goy. The most the world, other than Yisrael, can hope for is to be managers. Talmi, in his mind, he's a manager. He's running the world. He's running Egypt. He's running that whole area there. So he's a manager. He's God's manager here. But he's a manager. To us, we are not managers. We are principals. And principals, not us. Therefore, the children are also principals. Children have shares too. Talmi's children, his youngsters, his grandchildren, they're not managers. They have no standing at all. But if someone's standing doesn't come because of his work, but because of his ownership, then the youngster can be an owner too. And the youngsters are as much owners in Knesset Yisrael as adults. Therefore, we can't tell him that, but we ourselves understand the answer that Har Sinai was establishing principles. We are principals. The Kabbalah Sattar is a principal, not an employee. With this, we now begin understanding the whole board of what Mara is. What is Mara? What is going on with Mara? What are these ten? We were coming, even without what we asked tonight, we went out of Egypt. We went out of Egypt, and 7 weeks later we're receiving the Torah. What did we need an intervening event called Mora to all of it, get us three mitzvahs? You know what? Three mitzvahs before you get the Kabbalah Satorah. What is the purpose of three mitzvahs before we get the Kabbalah Satorah? Number one. Number two, Tosfos asked the Kashin Sanhedrin, and he blibes Shver, doesn't answer the question. He says, the Gemara says we got 10 mitzvahs in Mora. Tosfos says, what do you mean 10 mitzvahs? What are the 10 mitzvahs? The 7 mitzvahs ben Nei Noyach, and the 3 other mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Shabbos, Parah Adumah, and Binah. So he says, he doesn't understand. If you're talking about the sum total of all the mitzvahs that the Jews had before Kabbalah Satorah, they had more than 10, because they had Bris Milah also. So they had more than 10. And if you're telling me what was new, so what was new was only 3 mitzvahs. Shabbos, Parah Adumah, and Binah. What are you talking about 10 mitzvahs? That's Tosfos' question. He doesn't understand. Why is it 10 mitzvahs? Pshat like this. These 3 mitzvahs that are new at Mora have one thing in common. So let's go. 2 of them is obvious, and the third is going to be, we're going to begin to explain the whole word of what Mishpatim is. 2 of the mitzvahs are Shabbos and Parah Adumah. What are those 2 mitzvahs are? Those 2 mitzvahs are our recognition that we are headed towards eternity. Parah Adumah means we are free from death. The whole purpose of Parah Adumah, remember this Parah Adumah has been given before the sin of the golden calf. So nobody can imagine and think that this is the Mechaper on the golden calf. It has nothing to do with that. But it coming, for what purpose could it come for? Only one purpose. To be Matar from Tumas Met, which means to extricate us from a sense of death. That's what the Parah Adumah does. That's to extricate us from a sense of death, which means that we have a Shaychus to eternity. Shabbos. That's made in Olam Haba, also a shaychus to eternity. By Mora, we discovered that we have the potential that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is heading, leading us towards eternity. He's not leading us here towards becoming employees, but he's leading us here towards becoming principals. That's what Mora is, to let us know that's the direction in which we are headed. And therefore, all Mishpatim change. There's a whole new understanding of what Mishpatim is, which means as follows. Tosfos says we already were obligated in the 7 Noahide laws. So why is the Gemara saying you were commanded in 10? You're only commanded in 3. Wrong. You were commanded in 10 because there's a new commandment for the Noahide laws. What could be a new commandment for the Noahide laws? Well, you're sitting at a table with a person with very bad table manners. I mean, he eats and the food is coming down, and just very, very filthy and dripping, and you're bothered by that. Was he doing something ben adam l'makom wrong or ben adam l'chaveiro? Person has that's a ben adam l'makom. That's himself. That's himself. He's doing that to me. That's what he's doing to me. That's the way he eats. Yeah, I don't use the. Don't worry, that's the way he eats. He's not doing that to me. That's his own thing. In fact, I don't think anybody who's sitting there would take it personally. I mean, if a person starts screaming, yelling at me, putting me down, or, you know, being gross, things that he could obviously control, but the fact that he eats in a very sloppy and slovenly way is something lacking in his Tzelem Elokim. The fact that it bothers me, I don't think nobody takes that personally. That's not personal. That's a Bein Adam L'Malkum. There's something wrong with that human being. He doesn't begin to understand what a person is and the dignity of a person. But he has a problem. What about a person that steals? Hashem said don't steal. Yeah, could be one of 2 things also. It could be don't steal because a person that steals is a low human being. He's a low life. He's egocentric. He's selfish and self-centered, everything. That could be. Or it could be, you're not allowed to steal because I'm hurt. You're taking something from me. What's the problem with stealing? So we generally understand that stealing is a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. I say under the Noahide laws, it's not a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Stealing is a Bein Adam L'Bakum. Stealing, in order to be a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you have to assume that the person has a right to his money, that I'm entitled to my money, and that you cannot take money from me unless I have forfeited my right to my money. Under the Noahide laws, you do not have to forfeit your right to money in order for somebody else to take your money. All you need that the person who's taking your money is not a thief. And that's not the same thing. For example, let's say like this. Let's say you have 9 animals that are kosher and 1 animal that's stray. 1 animal runs out from this group. Are you allowed to take that animal and eat it? 100%. Call the parish, move the parish, you go bust the road. You take animal, second animal, you can eat the animal, third animal. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth also. From the Torah, you can eat them all. So if you ate the ninth, you can already eat the tenth too. Let's take a case now. Let's switch that instead of animals, people. 9 people are obligated to be killed, and there's an innocent person. And they start running out of the same group. And I have a gun. I start shooting the first person. They're all escaping from business. So you're allowed to use any form of killing them. If all 10 people are obligated, they're running away, I shoot them since they killed them. It's all the way of killing them. They're all chayav nisa. No problem. But you know what? There's 1 innocent. But he walked in. And now 9 people are running, 10 people are running out. Well, I'll shoot the first one. I go bust the rope. There must be 1 that are obligated. 2 and 3 and 4. Can I kill all 10 people too? Can I kill 1 person? I can't kill any of them. 100% I can't kill any of them. Because the law of not killing is not a law that I can't do murder. The law of not eating kosher is a law that I can't, that I have to eat kosher. And if the majority says, the rogue says that it's kosher, I haven't violated the law. Even though it comes out 1 of them is in fact trait. But the Torah said each one that I ate, I assumed that it was kosher. As far as murder, it's not that I can't do murder. If that's all that I can't do murder, the first one that goes out, I can kill. The second one that can kill, I'm not a murderer because they're going according to the rule. I'm not a murderer. In order for me to kill somebody, it starts the other way around. First, we have to make sure the person has forfeited his right to life. The fact that this person is surrounded by 9 people who are obligated to be killed doesn't forfeit that person's right to live. And therefore, I have no right to kill any of them. In the Bein Adam L'Chavero, the starting point in the judicial system is not whether I am allowed to do the act, but first you have to determine whether the person forfeited his right to live. And he didn't forfeit his right to live. Why? Because he's surrounded by 9 people that are murderers doesn't mean that the innocent man, well, what did he do wrong? Why did he forfeit his right to live? That's what it means when something is a Bein Adam L'Chavero. If something would only be a Bein Adam L'Makom, then my only problem would be that I am not allowed to be a killer, but not that I have to find out that you have forfeited your right to live. I'm not a killer. Because the Torah says if you go bust a robe, you're not a killer. I'm not a killer the first person. Just like by kosher. What's the difference? By something that's kosher. 9 kosher animals and 1 treif animal. I say on the first animal, I go according to the majority, it's kosher. The second animal's kosher, the third animal's kosher. 1 of the animals doesn't make a difference. I didn't eat anything not kosher because each animal that I ate, I had a majority that it was all right. And if murder was the same thing, a Bein Adam L'Makom would be the same thing. But each person, I have not done the act of Lo Sirtzach. But by murder, it starts the other way. By murder, you first have to determine that the person forfeited his right to live. And since you have to first make the determination he forfeited his right to live, therefore, if there's 1 person that's innocent, among 1,000 people, you can't kill any of them. Even if they're all running out, because he didn't forfeit his right to live. And on the chance I might be killing an innocent person, I'm not allowed to shoot at all. Stealing under the Noahide laws is a Bein Adam L'Makom. And therefore you go according to the road. The Rav Magid says that you go according to road. If it's a question under the Noahide laws of stealing, you go according to the law of probability. If the most are chances I'm not stealing, it's permitted. Under Jewish law, you don't go busting the road because you have to first make sure the person forfeited his right to money. And you can't go according to the laws of probability. At Mora, is when it became determined that we have rights that have to be forfeited. Because when a person becomes eternal, then he has existence too. And if we have existence, then you have to forfeit your right of existence. And therefore you need a court of 23, you need prior warning, you need two witnesses to convict the Jew. From Mora on, you need a whole different judicial process than what you need under the Noahide laws. Because from Mora on, all the Noahide laws became Bein Adam L'Chaveros, not Bein Adam L'Mokom. The reason a Jew can't steal from another Jew is not only because the robber is a bad and terrible person, but because you can't take money unless the other person has forfeited his right to that money. And therefore it's a Bein Adam L'Chavero too. That's what changes it more. And therefore, Tosus's question that we only got three new mitzvahs is not correct. I mean, the Gemara is not like Tosus, but the answer to the question is, because Esser mitzvahs we were recommanded in all the Noahide laws. The Noahide laws are no longer Bein Adam L'Mokom, they are also Bein Adam L'Chaveiro now too. This is something I owe my fellow human being. And since I owe my fellow human being, we have to be recommanded in the Noahide laws. It's a different basis for the Noahide laws. And in the law of Dinim is where it comes out clear. Because Dinim is, until then, all you need is one judge. And now you need prior witness, prior warning. You need 23 judges. You need to establish a person has forfeited his right to existence. Where the halacha informed us that a Jew has the potential of becoming a principal, and we are giving him rights. He's not an employee, he's giving rights. He has existence, and if he has existence, therefore we have rights. Therefore we have to be makabo all the laws of Mora before we entered into the covenant of Sinai. The covenant of Sinai, the bris of Sinai, Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu made them except the 10 laws of Mora. He wrote the Sefer HaBris and he put the Torah from the beginning to Bereishis and the 10 laws of Mora. Why did he put the 10 laws of Mora? Because those were the laws that make it clear what the whole understanding of Kabbalah Satorah is. And that's what Mishpatim is in general. Mishpatim means that there is a right in my fellow human being. My friend has a right. It's coming to him. And since he has a right, he has rights. And therefore that is sandwiched between the two versions of Har Sinai. Because it is the notion of what Har Sinai really created with us. It's not just our Kodesh Baruch Hu made us, was imposing unilaterally laws on us, but that, good, we had to agree to it, but also he was establishing we became principles. Principles is, that's what gives us our rights. Mishpatim means we have rights. Our fellow man has rights. And therefore, with an Eved also, we have a limitation what we can do to him. He stole, there's a limit to what we can do. A Jew can't forfeit his right to freedom more than 6 years. And if he does, he can only do it because he wants to do it himself. And if he does it himself, he's a sinner. If he does it, you have to pierce his ear. Because we have a right to existence. And we're supposed to be free. And therefore, if anybody forfeits that right, they're doing something wrong. The Torah is defining for us by Parshas Mishpatim what is really the main consequence in this world of being a principal. Yes, we said one of the consequences are that the Torah is that we have a say in the Torah, we paskin shilas, we can affect time. There's many things, and we have a share in the world to come. Another thing is we have Mishpatim. There are rules and we have rights. Employees do not have rights. Employees have what they do for their employer, they can earn certain things. They can earn certain things. But until they earn certain things, the position employee itself is not an ownership. That's not a vested. That's the opportunity to earn. A principal is an owner. We are owners. And Bernstein made us owners, and unfortunately, the only way we can get out of this ownership is what we did at the Cheder Egel. And therefore, we extricated ourselves from the ownership. We just wanted to leave, but except we wanted perhaps to take the ownership with us, but you can't take it with you, because the ownership is a connection to Him. And so Yisrael Baraisa, the Kutcha B'Yechu Chathu, is what was created in Parshas Mishpatim. And that's the reality. And therefore we are principles in creation, we are principles in running the world, we are principles in all of eternity. That's the bris of Har Sinai. That's the version, that's cause for an enormous amount of celebration. That's Vayechzu, Vayechlu, Vayishtu. It's celebratory. There's an enormous amount of joy. It's a tremendous, uplifting thing. It's a bris, a bow bris. And our children are principals. We're owners. Klal Yisrael is an owner. Because through us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has able to fulfill His rutzon to be meitziv, and He needs us to be meitziv. And to the extent that He needs to be meitziv, He needs us to be meitziv. And therefore there's a symbiotic relationship, and we are principals in creation. In the Yisrael version of creation, we are being imposed upon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moshe is the principal. We are managers. Yeah, we're children working for our father. Maybe we have a nice salary. We probably have a high position because we're the child. But we're not principals. We're children that are soymach al shulchan aruch. Work for our father, and we are getting his support. In mishpatim, what's being a Scottish here is that we become principles. It's enormous power that Klal Yisrael has. It's a power that's what Bar Yisrael means. We became Bar Yisrael. Until now, we're Ivrim. We're Ivrim. All through Sefer Shemos, it's Ivrim. Now we become Yisrael. Now we're Bar Yisrael. Now a person is Yisrael. That's a mitzvah. Yisrael, it's a reality. It's Yisrael by rights and Kutcha B'Yichu. We have become a reality. That reality was created by Nasa the Nishma. That reality was legitimized by the bris, that the merger between us and Kutcha B'Yichu.
You were listening to Rabbi Yochanan Zweig of the Talmudic University of Florida, presenting a lecture from the Karen Orr series of lectures. Audio and video cassettes on this and other lectures in the series that focus on various Jewish topics are available through the Talmudic University of Florida, Miami Beach, Florida, 33140. For information, call 305-534-7050 or 305-534-8444.